Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. I believe with all my heart that we're quickly approaching the day of the Lord, the time when our Messiah Yeshua is going to blow that trumpet and call us all home. I want to spend the next few weeks looking at the book of John, because I think the Gospel of John has a lot to say to help us be ready for the time when that trumpet does blow. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, after speaking about, start in verse 43 for context. Let me give you a chance to find it. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. It says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." That implies, what kind of tree bears bad fruit? A bad tree. "For every tree is known by its own fruit." Da, 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 da. Then down to verse 46. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" What does the word Lord mean?
Master.
Master. "You call me Master, Master, but you don't do what I tell you to do." What's his point? What's missing? What causes them to be disobedient is the lack of faith and the lack of love for the Father. Get back up to John. Verse 40, John 8:40. "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." In other words, you claim to be Abraham's children. You claim to have the faith of Abraham, but you're not obedient. What breaks the chain from knowledge to obedience is faith. Verse 41, "You do the works of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication." And the Greek words imply, "like you were." It's not said outright, but that's what's implied. Meaning, they've heard that there was something unusual about Messiah's birth. And what they think is maybe Mama was playing around, which is not true. But they're calling him an illegitimate child here. And they say, "We have one father, God." Wait a minute, I thought they had one father, Abraham. Well, no, they've dropped that argument. They realized that wasn't getting them anywhere. So now they claim that their father is God. You think that argument's going to do any better for them? I think not. Yeshua said to them, "If you were your father, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, for he sent me." He's very clear. If God were your father, you would love the Son. Isn't that just what 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 tells us? The answer is it is. I still have people today, in the last 2 weeks, that have come to me and said, "But Jews are saved a different way." And these are Christians who believe the Bible. Where do you find that in the Bible? The answer is you don't. Verse 43. "Why do you not understand my speech?" By now, he's really banging his head against the wall, thinking, "Am I speaking Greek? Am I speaking Aramaic? Am I speaking something they don't understand?" And he's going to tell them down in verse 47 why, but let's not jump down there. Let's keep going as he builds on this argument. "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." He says, you don't have the ability to understand what I'm telling you. But he's speaking in their native language. He's speaking in their hearing. They hear the words. But there's a difference between hearing the words and hearing the words. How many times did Messiah say, let him who has an ear to hear, not let him who has an ear. What is an ear to hear? It means one who has the desire to hear and to understand and do. So he says there's something wrong with their heart. And then in verse 44, he fills in the blank. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Do you think that the scribes and Pharisees listening to this are now chuckling? No, they're really, really seething. He said, he was, that is, the devil was, a murderer from the beginning. So anyone who commits murder is doing it of the devil, not of God. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning. Wait a minute, how was he a murderer from the beginning? What does from the beginning take us back to?
Genesis,
the Garden of Eden. He didn't kill Adam and Eve, did he? God said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And he talked them into eating from it. Therefore, he was the direct implement of death coming into the world. But Adam didn't die that day, did he? Yes, he did. A day is to the Lord as a 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day. How many years did Adam live? 930 years. Would he have lived over 1,000 if he had not eaten from the tree? Yes, he would have lived forever if he had not eaten from the tree. So yes, all death that's come into the world came into the world because Satan tempted the woman. So he is the father of murder. He was the murderer from the beginning. It says, and does not stand in the truth. Who is the truth? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he doesn't stand in the way of Messiah. He doesn't stand in the way of God. It says, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. Who was the first liar?
Satan,
when he told Eve, you shall not surely die. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Right there he says, oh, if I was lying like your father the devil, you'd believe every word I threw out there. It's because I speak the truth, and you don't know how to hear the truth. Which of you convicts me of sin? Probably a better way to translate that is, which of you can show that I am lying? Because he's not. And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? I think this is an honest and sincere question. He wants them to see that they have a heart problem that keeps them from believing. To a non-believer, what does the Bible say the gospel is?
Foolishness.
Foolishness. I many times sit here and say, why? How can the world turn away from God? They can see and hear the truth of the word, but they don't see. And that's what Messiah said, seeing they don't see and hearing they don't hear. Because the hearts are wrong. Verse 47, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. So he answers the question that he asked in verse 43. He just went roundabout to get to it. So the question was, why do you not understand my speech? The answer is because you are not of God. What if they were to repent right here and now and fall on their knees? They'd be saved. But they're not going to because of their arrogance and pride. Have we talked about the slaughter of the red heifer? From Numbers chapter 19. Israel was commanded to periodically take a red heifer. And they didn't sacrifice the red heifer. They slaughtered the red heifer. Not on the Temple Mount, but on the Mount of Olives. And they burned three things with the red heifer. They burned cedar, which was symbolic of pride and arrogance. They burned hyssop, which was a symbol of humility. And they burned a blood-colored cloth, which is to teach us that it's through the blood of Messiah, when we hit a place of humbleness of heart and put away our pride and arrogance, that we, which were so unclean, can be made clean. And they take the ashes of all that burning, and they sprinkle a little bit in the water pots, which we read about in Messiah's first miracle at the wedding of Cana. And they would periodically, when somebody was unclean, they would sprinkle them with the waters of the ashes of the red heifer, and they would become clean. But the priests who were responsible for doing the slaughter of the red heifer and all, they would be made unclean through the sacrifice, which it's a picture of Messiah. Messiah, who was sinless and perfect, took upon himself our sins. He who was clean became unclean, such that we who were unclean could become clean. It's all a big picture. But the first step to repentance is to put away the pride and arrogance and humble yourself before God. Verse 48. Then the Jews, and again, that's just a bias in translation. It should be the Judeans. It's talking about the scribes and Pharisees that have come up from Judea. Then the Judeans answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Do they think he's a Samaritan? No. Do they think he has a demon? No. They're insulting him as best as they can. It was just a big insult. But what are the answers to their questions? Is he a Samaritan? No, he's not. From what tribe is he? He's from the tribe of Judah. Does he have a demon? No. What do they really mean when they're saying you have a demon? They're saying you're meshugana, that you're crazy. You're crazy. But Yeshua answers them in verse 49. He says, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges." What does he mean by "I do not seek my own glory"? Was he trying to get the people to bow down at his feet? No. Was he trying to get them to sing his name and praises? No. Was he trying to be honored by the people? The answer is no. All he wanted to do was turn the people's hearts to God. He wanted them to humble themselves. Why? So that they could be saved. Wouldn't you think he'd get kind of tired of this and just say, "Well, to hell with you"? But he doesn't. He tries to say "to heaven with you" best he can. But they just won't listen. Verse 51 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." They're going to miss this one like a wild pitch. But let's break this down. What is that word "keeps" in Hebrew? Shamar, which means what? To guard, to protect, to keep safe and sanctified and set apart. I say to you, if anyone, Jew, Gentile, makes no difference, keeps my word, he shall never see death. Does that mean that David didn't keep God's word? No. Does it mean Abraham didn't keep God's word? No. But that's what his audience is thinking. They're thinking physical death, and what is he talking about? Spiritual death, the second death. For those of us who've accepted our Messiah Yeshua, will we ever see the second death? The answer is no. That's been taken away from us. That is the wages of sin that has been taken away by the gift of God through our Messiah Yeshua. But do they understand it, these scribes and Pharisees? The answer is no. because they're only looking at the physical, at the external. And that's what the scribes and Pharisees were trained to do. How did they show their piety to God? Do you remember? See my little tzitzit? They made theirs really, really long. The phylacteries they made really, really large. And they stood on the street corner and they prayed really, really loud. Why? They were looking at the external and wanting people to come by and say, "Oh, how pious you are. How righteous you must be in God's eyes," because the people were looking at the external. They wanted the praise of men. The praise of man means nothing. And that's what Messiah is trying to get across to us. Verse 52, then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death." They think they have him. They think they've got him trapped. How can he possibly explain this? The answer is they didn't understand a single word he said. But then they asked some very insightful questions that I want you to answer. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? Is Yeshua greater? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, he is. And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Has he not told them? But they didn't hear it. So he's going to try again. Yeshua said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing." Which means if I stand here right now and say, "I'm the Messiah, the Son of the living God, bow down to me," that would not amount to anything because that's not in God's will. Was Yeshua to be honored and glorified at his first coming? The answer is no. He was to be despised, rejected, and crucified. That's the way it was going to be. He said, "It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." What does that imply? Very loudly, that he's not your God. Why? Because God is whom they worship and serve. And who are they serving? Satan. Not intentionally, but they're serving man. And ultimately behind man is Satan. He says, "Yet you have not known him." That is, you've not known God. "But I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you." He's twisting the knife. He's not playing nice. A lot of people say, "Oh, when Jesus walked the earth, he loved everybody. He never said an unkind word to anybody." That's not what my Bible says. He's getting pretty down to earth here. He says, "But I do know him and keep his word." What does it mean, "and I keep his word"? Continually. He walks in it. He lives it. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." You ought to read the way the commentaries explain this verse. But what it refers to is what we looked at last week, back in Genesis chapter 22, with the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. When Abraham reached out his hand to slay Isaac, did God allow him to kill his son? No. No, why not? He doesn't want human sacrifice. That would have been murder if he had killed Isaac. Did God ask Abraham to kill Isaac?
No.
Yes. No, he said, "Take him there and offer him as a sacrifice." Offer him. Abraham made the offer and God said no. Because what would the death of Isaac have meant? Absolutely nothing except sin and blood on the hands of Abraham. But Abraham looked behind him, achar, afterward as in time. So he sees behind him, caught in the thickets. The thickets are a picture of the sins of the world, a lamb. And what did that lamb represent? Yeshua, the Lamb of God who takes away sins of the world. But there was really a lamb behind them caught in the thickets. And Abraham sacrificed that lamb in place of Isaac. But what he saw in the future was on this very same hill called Mount Moriah, we call it today the Temple Mount, He saw Messiah being sacrificed, crucified in place of his son Isaac. And here, Yeshua says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. Had these scribes and Pharisees never read Genesis chapter 22? I'm sure they had, but they didn't understand it. And of course, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us that God received Isaac back from the dead in a figurative sense. That is, if Abraham had sacrificed Isaac, God would have had to raise him from the dead because God had said through Isaac, Abraham's children would be called. But since God stopped the sacrifice, it is as if spiritually, not physically, he died and was resurrected. But it was through our Messiah Yeshua dying in his place that Isaac gained life. Do you see the picture? For you and I, it was the death, burial, and resurrection of our Messiah Yeshua that brings us life. Same with Isaac, same with Abraham. The way it's always been. Do the scribes and Pharisees understand this statement of Messiah? The answer is no. Because they say, then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? There is more significance than a lot of people realize when they see the phrase, you're not yet 50 years old. Turn back to the book of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Referring to the prophecy of the 70 weeks, which were weeks of years, so a total of 490 years, was it? Yeah, 490 years. Verse 26, and it says, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. According to Alfred Edersheim, the ancient Jewish understanding of being cut off was to be killed at less than 50 years of age, leaving no progeny or no children behind. So there, it links this prophecy of Daniel chapter 9 of the crucifixion of Messiah to John chapter 8. And of course, when was this 62 weeks up after which Messiah would be cut off? Almost 2,000 years ago. So according to Daniel 9, 24 to 27, Messiah was to have been killed, leaving no children at less than 50 years of age, about 2,000 years ago. Which is exactly what happened. Back to John chapter 8. Verse 58. Yeshua said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him. Why would they take up stones to throw at him? Because they think he blasphemed. And how did they think he blasphemed?
He equated himself with God.
He equated himself with God, but how did he do that? Because this wasn't the first time he said, I am, they didn't pick up stones before. What's different this time?
Did he use different words?
Not in the Greek. I wish I had the Hebrew to know if the words were different. What he says here is, I existed before Abraham and still exist. The only way that could be true is if he is the Son of God, God from all eternity. So he's now clearly said, I am the only begotten Son of God, God from all eternity. And according to Leviticus 24:16, what is the punishment for blasphemy? Leviticus 24:16.
Must be
stoning, right? Leviticus 24:16. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who was born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. So who's responsible for putting to death the blasphemer? The Jew as well as the Gentile. Anyone. And the Jewish understanding of blasphemy is borne out right here, and that is to speak the name of God. So, claiming to be God was close enough for their books. So back to John 8:59, and they took up stones to throw at him, but Yeshua hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. That doesn't make any sense, does it? What does it say? That he hid himself, but walked right through the middle of them. How is it that he hid himself and walked right out through the midst of them?
Blinded their eyes?
Maybe blinded their eyes?
Pulled us to lead up?
May have changed his appearance, may have pulled us to lead. I don't know. It doesn't give any explanation here. Most likely, God blinded their eyes to him. And they simply didn't see him leave as he walked right through the middle of them. Another miracle of God. But let's get on to the bigger miracle, the one that's numbered, the sixth sign, is the man born blind. It's a very critical story because of where it takes place here. What time of year is it? Feast of Tabernacles. John chapter 8 took place on the eighth day. He said, I am the light of the world. What are the eyes to the body?
Light of the soul.
Yes, the light of the soul. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 22 and 23. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. And if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So when he heals the man born blind and he's able to see, it's because he is the light of the world. And this man is representative of the Jewish people of his day who are full of darkness because they're spiritually blind. This man is physically blind, but he's going to represent those that are spiritually blind, as we're going to find in a few minutes. So chapter 9, verse 1. Now as Yeshua passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Therefore, he's a beggar, right? There's no other alternative for this man. He has to live by the charity of others. What did the children of Israel believe caused physical infirmities like this?
Sin.
The man was born blind. What could he possibly have done prior to being born to cause him to be born blind? That's why they raised the question. Verse 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In other words, he hasn't... Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We'll come back to the book of John next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming soon. So I'd encourage you, if you've never been saved, if you've not given your life to God, I would encourage you to do it now. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know how to do that, then please give me a call or visit my website at www.john1415.org. May God bless you.